Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
What are the great weights of life, the burdens of life? Maybe somebody would say hard decisions, earning a living, taking care of the house, getting all your work done, worrying about family members, dealing with health problems. Those are some things that come to mind. But I would suggest that those aren't really the heaviest burdens of life. And I say that because sometimes those things weigh you down and other times they don't. There are some deeper burdens, some burdens that they run in the background of your soul like a computer virus that just sort of bogs down the whole system, and they're always running, and they are what make all those other things burdensome, the things that I just listed, burdensome. In fact, they make all of life burdensome. First, self-justification. It's amazing how dominating the drive to justify ourselves really is, and it takes a million different forms. It could be something about your character, or something about your competence, or about your accomplishments in the past. There's some area in your life that has to be an A or a B plus in order for you to be a worthwhile person. And the thought of falling short in that area really does haunt you. So self-justification is one burden that runs in the background, just weighs us down and saps a lot of our energy. The second one I'll mention saps even more energy. It's the burden of trying to be happy. Most of our energy in life goes to that, right? Everything you do. That's why you eat what you eat. It's why you choose the relationships that you choose. It's the jobs you choose, the house you choose, the church you choose, everything you choose. That's why you choose it. Seeking happiness is wearying because so many things that we think we need to get happiness are outside of our control. And that unfulfilled longing weighs on you. It weighs you down. And even heavier than that is the fear that you won't be able to be happy in the future. That's even worse than not being happy, is the fear that you won't be happy in the future. Those are some of the great burdens of life that run in the background, that weigh you down, make you weary. And when I say weary, I'm not talking about like, oh, I'm tired, I need to get some sleep, weary. This is the weariness that's that unsettled, chaotic distress on the inside that you can't sleep. It makes it so you can't sleep. It's inability to rest. But here's what I want you to see. Look at Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. I'll give you rest for your soul. Jesus is promising rest. Jesus is redirecting attention from the shadow to the reality. That's what's going on here. He's taking us beyond physical rest into spiritual rest. And spiritual rest is another way of describing salvation. Isaiah 30:15 says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In repentance and rest is your salvation. Why is the Sabbath so important? Because the Sabbath is the gospel. The Sabbath is the gospel. It's the Lord Jesus Christ inviting us to throw off the great weights, crushing burdens of life, and enter into God's rest. So the Sabbath day, as I said, for you, was this first day, your first Sabbath was the day you became a Christian, when you first came to Christ. The great reality that has been illustrated all those thousands of years in the Old Testament when they were taking the seventh day off of work was fulfilled, all of that shadow, all that promise was fulfilled the day that you came to Christ and received spiritual rest. But the day that you did that, that wasn't the end of your rest, right? You didn't just get one day rest that day. The whole Christian life is a continual coming to Christ, is it not? And if you study Hebrews 3 and 4, which talks all about entering into God's rest, as an illustration, in the Old Testament, they entered into the promised land. That was the shadow of entering God's rest. For us, we enter into God's rest, and the ultimate fulfillment of it is going to heaven. And you read Hebrews 3 and 4, and part of it talks about we've entered that rest, but then the rest of it talks about it's heaven. You enter that rest ultimately, finally, completely, when you go to heaven. That's our great hope. But what I want to spend the rest of our time on tonight is just about the part that is now. On a daily basis, as Christians, entering that rest. Let's go back to those heavy weights, like self-justification. As a believer, everyone in this room understands that you can't earn God's favor by good works, right? Or by any other means, right? We know that truth like the back of our hands. We've heard that for years and years. We totally understand that. None of us are tempted to slip into, oh, I'm going to try to justify myself in God's sight by good works. We'd never dream of doing that. But we do try to justify ourselves in our own eyes by good works, don't we? We would never dream of trying to justify ourselves in God's eyes by good works, but we try to justify ourselves in our own eyes by our own efforts. We work so hard to become good enough for your spouse, good enough for your dad, your kids, your coworkers, whoever's approval it is that you have to have, that you crave, and especially yourself. I got to be good enough in my own eyes. A lot of times you don't even realize you're relying on something, some accomplishment, your job, your things you've done, whatever. You don't even realize that you're clinging to that for your self-justification until you lose it. You know, you lose that child or you lose your marriage or you wash out of your career. And then finally, then you realize, wow, I needed that to justify my existence as a person. And Jesus promises rest. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. So Jesus comes to a broken, burdened human race that is in a futile scramble to justify their existence, futile scramble to be good enough, to be acceptable. Running in the background of their soul 24/7 is all these nagging, painful awareness of their massive inadequacy and insufficiency and defectiveness. And Jesus says, come to me. I'll give you rest from all that. I'll give you rest from all that. And Jesus says to all those who are weighed down under the load of not being able to get the things that they think they need to be happy, and I can't get them because they're out of my control and people won't cooperate or I don't have enough money or whatever, or the fear that I'm going to lose those things in the future and I'm not going to have access to, I'm going to lose my health when I'm old, I'm going to lose my spouse, I'm going to lose my job, my house, whatever. And Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest from all that. I will provide you access to the happiness that you crave with all this, even with nobody cooperating, circumstances not cooperating. You'll never have to worry because I'll give you access to joy. The weight and the pressure will be gone and you'll have access to joy at all times, no matter what happens. And to those pinned down to the ground with oppressive fear, Jesus says, the closer you approach to my presence, the more you're going to see those fears just evaporate. 2 Corinthians 7:5, Paul said, we had no rest, conflicts on the outside, fears within, but God who comforts the downcast comforted us. You draw near to him and the fears go away. So come to Christ and all the great burdens of life, the background burdens that make everything else heavy will be lifted. That's what the Old Testament Sabbath restrictions were supposed to picture, to illustrate. All right, so now here's where this really gets good. It's not just that you enter rest, but you enter God's rest. You enter God's rest. All through the Old Testament, he says, you'll enter my rest. Now, what is that? Where does that come from? It comes from Genesis 1. The whole concept of Sabbath comes from the creation in Genesis 1, where what did God do? He created. I heard somebody once describe it. This guy, he said, yeah, this is Genesis 1. That's where God created everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he was so exhausted, he rested. No, be careful about adding little things into scripture. God was not exhausted. God was not tired. That's not why he rested. Now, I suppose that maybe some new Christian would assume that, because why else would a person rest unless he's tired? Well, there's actually a reason. There's two reasons why a person might rest from work. One is fatigue, but there's another one. The other one for ceasing work is it's done, right? The job is done. You're so satisfied with the work that you've done, nothing more can be added to it. And so you stop doing it. You look at it, you say, it is good. My work here is done. It is finished. And that's exactly where God was after day six. He created everything. He says, behold, it was very good. There was nothing left to be done. It was finished. It was completed. And so he stopped working at it. That's why he rested from that. He didn't cease working. He did lots of other stuff. He just stopped creating. That's God's rest. So what does it mean for us to enter God's rest? We're entering a rest that's both kinds. On our side, it's a renewal and rejuvenation from being wearied and burdened, because we get tired and we do need rest. So that's half of it. But it's also God's rest, the it is done, it's completed, it is finished kind of rest. It's finished. What's finished? The work of making us acceptable. It's finished. The endless work you do of trying to justify your existence and be good enough for God or good enough for your dad or good enough for your spouse or good enough for yourself, that work for a Christian is finished. It's done. Why? Because Jesus stepped in, finished the task for you, made it acceptable and good enough, showed it to the Father, and the Father said, behold, it is very good. And the words thundered from heaven, it's done. It's done. You can stop striving to justify your existence and become good enough. Why? Because it's the Sabbath day. It's the Sabbath. It's here. So, how do you observe the Sabbath? By coming to Christ for rest and relying 100% on what he has done for you rather than on your own achievements and efforts. Learn to enjoy God's acceptance of you as his child in Christ. Learn to enjoy it. I mentioned Eric Liddell, who thought that he was observing the Sabbath by not running on Sunday. A much better example of actually observing the Sabbath wasn't skipping the race on Sunday. A better example is when his character in the movie says this, God made me fast, and when I run, I can feel his pleasure. That's the Sabbath. Feeling God be pleased with you. Feeling God's pleasure and acceptance and approval through Christ rather than being loaded down with the burden of making ourselves acceptable. Now, Harold Abrahams was burdened an hour before the race. He's laying on a table, not even moving, and he's burdened even though he's not running. Abrahams was weary even while resting. Liddell was rested even while exerting himself because he understood what it meant to come to God for rest. Psalm 62:1 says, my soul finds rest in you alone. Augustine made a very similar observation in his famous statement. He said, God, you made me for you, so my soul is restless until it finds rest in you. And we've all heard that statement. Most of us can relate to the first half of that more than the second half. We can all relate to my soul is restless, right? We all have felt that. But not as many can relate to the sense of finding rest in God. My soul finds rest in you. How do you do that? How do you find that rest? By taking a break from spirit? You just stop reading your Bible and praying one day a week and take a breather and from spiritual thing? No. If you want spiritual rest, the work you need to stop doing is the work of trying to justify yourself, seeking happiness in this world, and seeking hope and security in this world. Stop doing that work and replace that, not with inactivity, but with the work of seeking all that in Christ. Jesus tells us how to get this rest, and he tells us not to be inactive. He tells us to do some things. He tells us to do two things that will give you rest. First, look at verse 28. He says, come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, come to me, and I will give you rest. So that's the first thing you need to do in order to get this rest. Draw near to him. Seek his presence. Nearness to him will give you strength and refreshment. The more time you spend in his presence, the less burdened you'll be in life. Experiencing God's presence means consciously and intentionally enjoying the experience of one or more of his attributes. If you need renewal and refreshment, don't go on vacation. Draw near to Christ. That's what will renew your soul. Seeking his presence is hard work, right? It's hard work. But there'll never be a time when you do that hard work and you experience the presence of Christ and you come away depleted and exhausted. It never happens. It never happens. You'll always come away renewed and strengthened. You can go on vacation and come away depleted and exhausted. But you can't be in the presence of Christ and come away exhausted.
Who is that person or people whose approval you feel like you must have? Your father? Strangers? Your spouse? Yourself? How much of your anxiety comes from that pursuit? Lay it down. Let go of it. Say it to yourself. Say it out loud if you dare. I do not need that person's approval if I have God's approval, and I have God's approval in Christ. Say that, and then sit back and enjoy it. And keep enjoying it and focusing your attention on it until your anxiety about justifying your existence is gone. That's the first godliness training assignment for today. Second one, search your heart and find any anxiety that's coming from your pursuit of happiness or fear of non-happiness in the future. Once you pinpoint those things, preach to yourself about how Christ is your only necessary supply of happiness, and you have access to Him now and always will in the future, no matter what happens. Think about that until you can rest in Him as the supplier of your joy. And tune back in tomorrow when we'll talk about exactly how to take His rest-giving yoke upon you.
Thank you for listening. We pray these principles from the Word of God are helping you find the peace of God as you draw nearer to the God of peace. Maybe there's someone in your network who would enjoy these podcasts. You never know how posting a link on Facebook might change someone's day or their whole life. Please remember to pray for this ministry, and remember that we're a crowd-funded ministry, so every gift helps. Just go to treasuringgod.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.